Good morning. Praise to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to see you all. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Let's bow our heads and our hearts before him. Our Father and our God, we give you thanks for the Sabbath day, the opportunity we have to assemble ourselves together today. We ask, Father, that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit. Equip us to worship you, that our worship may be in spirit and in truth, and that it may glorify Jesus Christ, and that the consequence of the work of your Spirit and your Word would be that when we depart, we'll be more like Christ than we were when we entered. We pray these things of you in the name of the one who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Evil, for thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please open your Bibles to the book of Exodus, chapter 24, and we'll read the first 8 verses. Exodus 24, beginning with the first verse, let's hear the inerrant word of God. Now he said to Moses, Come up to Yahweh, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship from afar. And Moses alone shall come near Yahweh, but they shall not come near, nor shall the people go up with him. So Moses came and told the people all the words of Yahweh and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice and said, All the words which Yahweh has said, we will do. And Moses wrote all the words of Yahweh. And he rose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. Then he sent young men of the children of Israel who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to Yahweh. And Moses took half the blood and put it in basins, and half the blood he sprinkled on the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read in the hearing of the people. And they said, All that Yahweh has said, we will do and be obedient. And Moses took the blood, sprinkled it on the people, and said, Behold, the blood of the covenant which Yahweh has made with you according to all these words. God bless the reading of his word. We turn from the word of God to the Apostles' Creed, page 845 in the back of your hymnals. Let us confess the faith that God has revealed to us in his word by means of this ancient summary. Christian, what do you believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our New Testament text is 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians 11, verses 17 through 34. Or 17 through the end of the chapter, however you want to phrase it. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17. Again, let us hear the inerrant word of our God. Now, in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry, and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he who drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment. And the rest I'll set in order when I come." May God bless the reading of his word. Let's go together for him in prayer. Again, Lord, we give you thanks for the Sabbath day and the opportunity to assemble ourselves together. Again, we would implore that you'd fill us with your Spirit. You have spoken to us numerous times already in the less than half an hour we've been assembled. Continue to speak to us. Grant that we might hear you as you speak. For you've spoken in the reading of your word, in the apostolic reading, in the call to worship. Certainly you speak to us in the message and in the table and in the benediction. Grant that we hear you. Grant that your Spirit would apply the word to each individual as well as to this body. All these things we ask of you. In Christ's name, amen. Well, it's Independence Day, and that's fun. Or at least it would be if I had fireworks. I am a little bit of a pyromaniac. I love to blow things up. But on this day, as Americans, we celebrate our independence, and some of us at least would recommit ourselves to those ideas and ideals. Recommitment is something we do as a nation. Frankly, in many ways, that recommitment happens every time there's an election. We commit ourselves to selecting our own leaders and exercising the franchise to bring about what we hope would be good government. We do it as marriage partners. People, when they hit their 25th or 35th or 50th anniversary, sometimes repeat their vows to recommit themselves. And we also do that as members of Christ's church. What I want us to do this morning, and we don't have a lot of time, is kind of step through a few things in the scriptures, in the Old Testament scriptures. So if you can follow, please do. We'll start with Genesis chapter 12 and 13 in reference to Abraham. In Genesis 12, verses 7 and 8, we read, "Then Yahweh appeared to Abram and said, 'To your descendants I will give this land.' And there he," not Yahweh, "built an altar to Yahweh who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to Yahweh and called on the name of Yahweh." In this particular chapter, God has called Abram and made promises to him. That's repeated again in verse 7, and it's responded by the building of two altars. Though we do not have the word in this text, what we do have taking place is covenant making. But if you'll notice chapter 13, and verse 4. When Abram comes up from Egypt, he comes, verse 4, to the place of the altar which he had made there at first, and there Abram called on the name of Yahweh. Same phraseology we have in verse 8 as well of chapter 12. Is he making the covenant again? Yeah. He is renewing his covenant, renewing his commitment to Yahweh. In chapter 17, we also have the covenant renewed and extended. If we had the time, we could look at verse 2, I will make my covenant between me and you. Verse 4, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you. Verse 7, I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant. Verse 9, God said to Abram, as for you, you shall keep my covenant. Verse 10, this is my covenant. Every male child among you shall be circumcised. Verse 11, it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. Verse 13, at the end, my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. End of verse 14, who's cut off from his people, he has broken my covenant if he's the uncircumcised. In verse 19, I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant. Verse 21, but my covenant I will establish with Isaac. In all of this, what we have is a renewal and extension of the covenant. God is the one who makes the covenant, but Abram is the one who receives it and who renews that covenant, as God also renews that covenant with his son Isaac. And for there, we need to turn to chapter 26 of Genesis. In verse 1 through 5, we have covenant made with Isaac. Now, we're already told in Genesis 17 that God makes his covenant with Isaac. In fact, he makes it with Abraham and all of Abraham's descendants. So Isaac's already in the covenant, in a sense, and yet there is that personal covenant making here in 26 verses 1 through 5. There's a famine in the land. Isaac goes to Abimelech. Yahweh appears to him in verse 2. Do not go down to Egypt. Dwell in the land. Sojourn in the land. Verse 3. I will be with you and bless you, for to you and your descendants I will give these lands. I'll perform the oath that I swore to Abram your father. That's covenantal language. I'll make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I'll give your descendants all these lands, and in your seed, I don't know why the translation switches. In Hebrew, it's seed, 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 and here it's descendants, descendants, seed. But at any rate, I will, in your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, my law, or in other words, my covenant. The covenant then is made here with Isaac in a personal way in the same chapter, verses 23 and 25, 23 through 25, excuse me. He went up from there to Beersheba, and Yahweh appeared to him the same night and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. I'll bless you and multiply your descendants for my servant Abraham's sake. So he built an altar there. We've already seen his father do that. Called on the name of Yahweh, we've seen his father do that, and pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants dug a well. This is the covenant being renewed by Isaac. The same thing happens with Jacob. Turn to chapter 28, the famous ladder at Beit El, house of God. And we read this story beginning with verse 10 through verse 22. But notice verse 13. Behold, Yahweh stood above it, before that top of that ladder or staircase, and said, I am Yahweh, God of Abraham your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and your descendants. Same basic promises are made. Jacob wakes up and says in verse 17, how awesome is this place. This is none other than the house of God, Beit El, and this is the gate of heaven. He names it, verse 19, Beit El. Verse 18, he takes a stone, sets it up as a pillar, pours oil on top of it, and swears an oath. Covenant making. Isaac also makes a covenant. In chapter 35 of Genesis, we have his covenant being renewed. Notice here, something else is added. It's in chapter 35, verses 1 through 15. We're not going to read the whole section. But notice verse 1. Then God said to Jacob, arise, go up to Beit El and dwell there, and make an altar there to God who appeared to you when you fled from the face of Esau your brother. Come down to verse 6. Jacob came to Luz, that is Beit El, and there in the land of Canaan, he and all the people who were with him, he built an altar there and called the place El Beit El, because there God appeared to him when he fled from the face of his brother. And then we'll notice that God appears to him, verse 9. Your name is Jacob. Your name shall not be Jacob anymore, but Israel shall be your name. He called his name Israel. And then again, the promises of the covenant are given. What Jacob has done here is, again, the renewal of the covenant, this time by God's express command. It's not Jacob's idea, as it might have been with Abraham and with Isaac. It's instead God's idea. Well, in the book of Exodus, we come to God's making the covenant with Israel. And there are two sections, Exodus 19, verses 5 through 8, just prior to, of course, the 10 words being delivered. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you'll be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Sound familiar words? Because they're in the New Testament also. Peter applies them to the church. We are a fulfillment of that promise. A special treasure. I'm in the wrong verse. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. So Moses came and called for the elders and laid before them all these words which Yahweh commanded them. Then all the people answered together and said, all that Yahweh has spoken, we will do. Covenant is made. Covenant is agreed to. But notice also then in chapter 24, the section that we read earlier, something very important to catch in relation to what we read in 1 Corinthians 11. In 24, in verses 4 through 8, we have the words of God being written. We have an altar. We have a sacrifice. And then notice, particularly picking up with verse 6, Moses takes the blood, and half the blood he sprinkles on the altar, and half the blood he sprinkles on the people. Do you hear these words? The echo, or echoed by the Lord Jesus Christ? Behold, verse 8, the blood of the covenant, which the Lord has made with you, according to all these words. Though, of course, with Jesus, it's the blood of a new covenant. Remember in Sunday school the connection between Moses, Exodus, and Jesus. There we have it again. This covenant is renewed numerous times. We don't have a lot of time left, but in Exodus 34, there is a covenantal renewing. Why? Well, that's because of the sin of Israel. And so the covenant is renewed in verse 10 and following of chapter 34. Behold, I make a covenant. God makes the covenant again with Israel. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, we have a new covenant. Now, if you'll notice in the first verse of Deuteronomy, these are the words which Moses spoke to all Israel on this side of the Jordan in the wilderness. Which side? The east side. The New Jersey side, for me at least, in thinking. He makes this covenantal renewal. This whole book takes place on the east side. And there's covenantal ceremonies taking place. So that in chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, Moses calls all Israel, hear the statutes, the judgments. Verse 2, Yahweh our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. Do you notice these next words? This is interesting. Some of these people weren't even alive when Israel was around Mount Horeb. But hear Moses' words. Yahweh did not make this covenant with our fathers. Yeah, he did. He did not make the covenant with our fathers, but with us. How could that be? Because a covenant is binding. Generation after generation. It was made with their fathers, but it was also made with them, even if they hadn't been born yet. And then we have this covenant renewed. This is a covenantal renewal, a new generation. And the covenant's being made again. Not just in the past, something that happened in the dim recesses of time. In chapter 27, verses 1 through 10 in Deuteronomy, again, we have a renewal. And this is the kind of climactic aspect of the book of Deuteronomy. There's this whole ceremonies of things happening about renewing the covenant. There's a description in verses 1 through 10 of chapter 27 about things they're supposed to do when they're on the west side of the Jordan. What I think of is the Pennsylvania side of the Jordan. That there they renew the covenant, they set up stones, they write the words of God. There they will do certain things to continue, again, a renewal on the east side and a renewal on the west side of the Jordan. Notice, though, chapter 31. I'm going to skip some of what we have. And in chapter 31 of Deuteronomy, verses 9 through 12, Moses writes a law, delivers it, and commands them, verse 10, at the end of every 7 years, at the appointed time in the year of release, at the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel comes to appear before Yahweh your God in the place which he chooses.
Due to a technical difficulty, the remainder of the sermon is unavailable.